Good morning, church. It's good to see you all this morning. It's always encouraging to gather with brothers and sisters in the Lord to worship. I needed it today. Yesterday was rough. I had a pretty bad headache. It's still there a little bit, but we'll make it through. But I was just deeply encouraged through Sunday school class on fear and anxiety and the worship music, and just good to be in the house of the Lord with you all. So if you have your scriptures with you, please turn to the book of John. The Gospel according to John, we're in chapter 21 this morning. We're actually wrapping up this beautiful, beautiful Gospel. We'll be at look at verses 15 to 25. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's page 907. As you're turning there, at the end of this chapter, John writes this. He says, "This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know his testimony is true." It's like John, as he's wrapping up this book, he's like, "I'm taking an oath. I'm telling you, I have seen all these things that I've written, and these things are true. If they're not, for a Jewish person to take an oath, it's basically saying, if these aren't true, let me be accursed. Let me be anathema." He says, "I've written these things that you know these are true. If I were to write everything that Jesus did," he's using hyperbole, "there wouldn't even be enough room in the world to contain all the books. But I've written these things. You need to know they are true." And the purpose of why John written all these things, that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the anointed one, that he is the Son of God, that he is everything that he said and claimed to be, and that if you believe in him, you would have life in his name. So as we conclude this marvelous testimony of John, these 21 chapters, the question needs to be asked of you. Do you believe him? Another way to say it is, do you love him? Do you believe that he is the Christ? Do you believe he is the Son of God, that he is the bread of life, that he is the resurrection of life, that he is the good shepherd, that he is the light of the world, that he's fully God, fully man, there's no other like him, and you must trust him with all of your life? For if you believe in him and if you love him, the trajectory of your life is drastically different. You're saying, "I'm no longer Lord, he's Lord. No longer will I live this way, how I ought to, what I think I ought to do, but what his word says," and follow him. You're saying, "Jesus, you're my Savior, you are my Lord, and I will follow." So this morning, as we wrap up John, we see some of the ramifications of what it means if you dare to say, "I believe." If you dare to say, "I love Jesus," Jesus will lay out for us what that kind of means and for our life. And it's a call to just unite with Christ in this kingdom advancing glory, that there's life in his name. There's life in his name. So let me pray. We'll read and we'll get started. Father, Lord, we pray that you would teach us this morning. I pray that your spirit would move and open our ears and our hearts to receive what you are saying this morning. Lord, help us to understand some of the things of what it means to love you, to believe in you. Lord, you revealed yourself that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that salvation is in no other name, that we can be completely forgiven of every single sin. And so what does that mean to believe and to trust? So, Lord, we pray that you would teach us, that you would convict us, that you would challenge us, that you would lift us up. And those who are full of pride, you would bring down. But we would all bow the knee and receive Christ this morning. Help us, we pray. Amen. So we'll start at verse 15 of chapter 21 to the end. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had been reclining at the table close to him, and said, "Lord, who is it that's going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. But Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but he said, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that this testimony is true. Now, there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. This ends the reading of God's word this morning. Thanks be to God. So do you love Jesus? We've covered the whole Gospel of John, 21 chapters that were written so that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the most one that was prophesied many, many, many years ago, the one who would come to redeem his people. And that by believing in him, by trusting him, you would have life in his name. Do you believe? If you love Jesus, what does that mean? Think about it. How currently do you show Jesus and the world your love? Hopefully you start with worship. It's good to start each week with worship, Sunday morning worship. And I pray it overflows into when you go home. And it's through the week that there's nothing in your life, whether it's an athlete, whether it's a pop star, or whether it's your work or your family or whatever, that there's no idol that you have that's above Jesus. That if you say you love Jesus, he's supreme, the highest good, the highest treasure. Do you love him? Maybe you show your love to him through prayer. You know, I hope it's not just today. As we talked about in Sunday school a little bit, that we should pray, that we should have thoughts of Jesus in our lives, every decision that we come to, everything that we ought to do and be about, that Jesus is in the forefront of our thinking. And today we see that love is obedience. Not in the means to merit salvation. Jesus accomplishes all that. You always rest in what Jesus accomplished on his cross, the life, the death, and resurrection of Christ. Now he says, live this way. I want you to enjoy life. I want you to flourish. I want you to see what it means to be a follower of Christ and shine in a dark, dark world. Basically, loving Jesus means following Jesus. Loving Jesus is just not some kind of romantic relationship where you just sing love songs to Jesus. He's saying, if you love me, you'll follow me. So this morning, make Jesus your God. Make him supreme. Love him and follow him to the end. Get it in there. Put the stake in the ground. He's my God. He's my Savior, and I will follow him. So how do we love him? Well, there's tons of ways, but we're just going to look through this text this morning, and we'll look at three. We'll consider three things this morning. If you claim to love Jesus, that means you must love his people. Look with me at verse 15 again. It says, "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He's talking about his people. He doesn't have a farm, right? He says, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." Again, he's not talking about farm. It's easiest for us to love cats and dogs. They're easy, you know. He's talking about people. Love my people. And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said this a third time, "Do you love me?" He said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." So just prior to this conversation, if you recall, Jesus, the disciples had fished all night. They went out fishing. And they were fishing all night and they caught nothing. And come morning, it's light of day, and they see this guy standing on the shore, and the guy calls out and he says, "Hey, children, did you catch anything yet?" They said, "No." He said, "Throw your nets on the right side of the boat. You'll find some." And so they throw their nets in and they get this huge catch of fish. About 153, it says, and their nets could hardly bring them in. And automatically, John recognizes. He goes, "It's the Lord. Guys, it's the Lord." So Peter grabs his clothes and he jumps in the sea, and they start making their way to see Jesus. And as they all get to the shore, Jesus is there fixing breakfast. The resurrected Lord serving these men who were failures we talked about last week. He's in there feeding them fish, making them bread. And as they're finishing up eating, he begins to talk to Peter. He's wanting Peter and the disciples and us to know that he's not done with Peter yet and those who may seem to fail him. And he asked Peter the simple yet most important question. Such a simple question. So important. "Do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Do you love me?" And he asked him three times, and we all know pretty much what's going on. Remember, Peter denied him three times. And so he's walking Peter through this repentance, kind of correcting him, kind of challenging, where's your heart at? I know where it's at, but I want you to say it. I want you to own it. I want you to really believe this, Peter. Do you love me? Do you love me? First, he asked Peter this way. He says, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" And so commentators wrestle. What does that mean? Do you love me more than these? What's the these? What's Jesus referring to? So there's three options commentators try to figure out. So maybe Jesus is pointing to the men. He says, "Do you love me more than your friends? Do you love me more than your friends? Are they more important than me?" Maybe Jesus is referring to the fishing tackle, the nets and the boats, his occupation. "Jesus, do you love me more than these? Your work. Your means of making money." Or maybe he's saying, "Do you love me more than these?" In the sense of, the disciples love me. Do you love me more than they do? So we're not sure, but it's just a simple and profound question. Do you love me? So that's the question Jesus is asking you this morning. Do you love me? Peter answers, "Yes, you know I love you. Jesus, you know my heart. Jesus, you know I love you." And how does Jesus respond? He says, "Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep." He's saying, "Peter, care for my people. Love my people. Teach my people. Teach my bride. Teach my church, Peter." Peter is being called to be an apostle, a pastor, a shepherd. And Jesus is telling him, "If you love me, Peter, care for my people well. Peter, give them my words. Give them my truth. Preach me, Peter. Teach them about me. Tell them that I fulfill their need. Tell them I am the way of salvation. Give them me. Peter, tell them that I fulfill the Old Testament. Tell them that I'm greater than Moses. I'm greater than Aaron. I'm greater than Solomon. I'm greater than David. I'm greater than the temple. Teach them about me, Peter." He says, "Take care of my sheep. Love my sheep." And basically, it's caring for their needs. but give them the truth of Jesus. And for you out there, though you are not a pastor shepherd like Peter, if you love Jesus, you must love his people. You can't be an island in an ocean out there all by yourself, just this you and Jesus thing. No. He says, if you love me, you'll love my people. Not just those you agree with and get along with. Not just those that never sin against you, for if you're in the church, someone's going to sin against you. They will. He says, love them. He says, love them. Do you realize how often Jesus could have given up on these disciples? These men for 3 years? Just never got it. He never gave up. He says, if you love me, you will love my church. You won't run from my people. You won't run from my church. Peter, go after my people. And you say, well, how can I do that? How could I possibly do that? You don't know how much they have offended me. Well, there's two ways you can get over that. Remember that Jesus died for them and shed his precious blood for them. They are precious to the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood was applied to their account. And secondly, he who is forgiven much loves much. Is that you? He who is forgiven much loves much. If God loves you and has forgiven you all of your wretched sin, how can you not forgive your brother and sister? So if you struggle in that area of loving those of the church, maybe that's the problem. You're just not aware of just how much you've been forgiven. Peter failed and he denied that he knew the Lord 3 times and he will fail again, but he knew there was grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew there was forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that Jesus would restore him and embrace him. That's why when he said, it's the Lord out in that sea, he ran right to Jesus. So if Jesus can do that for you, he can do that to the person beside you. John would write about this later in 1 John 4. He would say, we love because God first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Or who can say that he loves God who he cannot see, well, at the same time hates his brother who he sees? Saying you love Jesus and hate your brother is like me putting on a Steeler jersey and say I play for the Steelers. It doesn't work. If you love Jesus, you love those of his people, those whom he died for. And you love them. If you love God, you give him both word and deed love. Sometimes as a church, we can err on either one. We just give them the word. Just give them the word. Give them the word. Just preach at them. Tell them everything that they need to do, what they ought to do, what they need to believe. We're not fulfilling a need that they have. And sometimes as a church, we can just fulfill needs and just help them in this area, in this area, in this area, and we're not giving them the word. It's got to be both. It's got to be both. So if you claim to say, I believe in Jesus, I love Jesus, he's saying, love my people. Love my people. The next thing we see, that loving Jesus also means following him no matter the cost. Loving Jesus also means following him no matter the cost. Look again at verse 18 and 19. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Kind of a cryptic text, huh? The New Living Translation tries to write it this way. It says, the truth is, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked and go wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will direct you and take you wherever you don't want to go. So it's a prophecy. Peter, for loving Christ, for believing in Christ, he will be crucified himself. They will stretch out his hands on the crossbeam. He'll be taken where he doesn't want to go. Peter himself would be crucified later on because he loved Jesus about 30 years later. Some traditions say, we don't know for sure, but he said that when he was going to the cross, he says, I don't deserve to be crucified like my Lord. Crucify me upside down. We're not sure it's tradition. But he would pay the ultimate cost for loving Jesus. Loving Jesus means following him no matter the cost. Jesus says it like this in Matthew 16, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Currently, we don't get much persecution in our country for loving Jesus. There's some low-level forms of persecution. You know, you'd be made fun of, you're not allowed to join in with this group of friends, or you might get passed over for a job promotion, or you can get sued sometimes for standing for your beliefs. But in other countries, if you love Jesus, like in China or other Muslim countries, you will be arrested and you might be killed. These are some of the realities that if you say, I love Jesus, are you ready? Are you ready no matter the cost? And though in our country it's low level right now, if things continue their trend, it might be harder. It might get more difficult. So you need to be resolute. You need to be firm in convictions. Do you believe Jesus is the Lord? And do you love him? Because there could be a day when people will come through this door and say, you either deny who Jesus is or you're going to jail. You either deny that Jesus is the Lord or you will die. You have to make that decision. People are dealing with this already and have been ever since. This is what Peter and the disciples went through early on. And how did they do it? What in their right minds would make them do that? Because they saw a man who was brutally crucified standing right before them, glorified. They saw a man crucified on a cross standing right before their eyes over a period of 40 days. Jesus showed them to like 500 people, if not more. They were convinced. These fishermen, tax collectors, zealots, they saw the resurrected Lord. They're like, well, if you can rise, I will rise too. When you have an interaction with the resurrected Lord, what is there to fear? As Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. They were convinced. That's what changed the Roman Empire. These 11, 12 men went out in the Roman Empire. And the only thing these men had to gain was crucifixion, fed to the lions. All of them were martyred for their faith, except for John. John was put on an island and exiled away. Everybody else was killed. Now, if they knew that was a lie and they were willing to do that, I don't think so. I think it's more they were convinced. They were convinced. They ate breakfast with this man. They actually could touch this man. He's alive. Do whatever you want to me. He's alive. He's Lord. He's Lord. What are you going to do? He's Lord. What are you going to do to me? You're going to die someday. I'm going to die someday. But he's overcome the grave. And I am too. So when you say, I love Jesus, get ready for the cost. No matter the cost. That's what he's telling Peter. No matter the cost, follow me. And Peter was willing. Peter was willing. And the last thing we'll see, loving Jesus means being contentedly focused on the path Jesus has chosen for you. Loving Jesus means contentedly focused on the path Jesus has chosen for you. Verse 20. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following him. That's John. When you see that in there, that's John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. The one who had been reclining at the table close to him and said, Lord, who is it that's going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but if it is my will that he remain until I come, what's that to you? So Peter notices John walking behind them. Jesus tells Peter that you're going to be crucified for following me. And so Peter looks back and says, well, what about John? If this is my path, what about John? And Jesus basically says, don't worry about it. It's none of your business. Follow me. John's ministry and outcome might be different than yours, Peter, but what about it? Do what I have called you to do with a contented focus. One of our many problems as people is we like to compare, and for all the wrong reasons. We set up some kind of superficial scale of what's cool and what's great and what's not and what's subpar, and we even do it in churches and ministry, right? We think we can compare ourselves to he or she and their ministry and what that church is doing, and we think, oh, they're doing that. That is awesome. We're doing this, and it's not so cool or whatever. And we start to compare. We start to grumble. We start to complain because our ministry, our life isn't like so-and-so's. We start to compare. And Jesus is saying, what's that to you? Follow me. Follow me. John Piper writes, compare, compare, compare. We crave to know how we stack up in comparison to others, right? He says there is some kind of high that we give ourselves if we can find someone less effective than we are. Sometimes we ask pastors or churches how they're doing or people, and when we hear they're struggling or whatever, we're like, we're very sinful people. Thankful for Jesus. As pastors, we compare ourselves in ministries and to other pastors, and we start to worry or complain, and congregations can do the same. Compare our congregation to another congregation or to a present minister, to a past minister, for all the wrong reasons. And Jesus is saying, the focus needs to be on follow me. Follow me right here. And right now, in this season, get your eyes off of everything else and follow me at this stage in life, this stage of ministry, and trust me. Just follow me with contented focus. If you love Jesus and trust him and his calling in your life, we must stop comparing ourselves to others. And it's so hard in this day and age. One of the worst things about smartphones and social media is the whole like button and everything else, and go through Facebook, Instagram, and whatever. Because we look at it all wrong. Instead of seeing somebody, you know, got the new car or whatever, you know, is your first reaction, yeah, great, that's really awesome, I really love you, or deep down inside, like, oh, I wish that was me. I wish that was me. God must not love me. You know, so we just have to get our thinking right. He says, be contentedly focused where I have you and what you're doing, and rejoice with your other brothers. Rejoice with the other churches. Rejoice with the other ministers. Rejoice for your other brothers and sisters that are doing well. When you hear they're doing well, say, yes, that's great. That's awesome. And just continue to follow him. Just continue to rest and trust in him. He wants you to share the gospel. He wants you to share the knowledge of Jesus. He wants you to know all 21 chapters of John, all the truths about who Jesus is, and whatever your sphere of influence, he says, share that. Share that truth. Tell them to know who Christ is, that he is the Son of God, and by believing he would, that they would have life in your name, wherever that is, whether it's in the streets, in your home, at work, at school, that's where Jesus has you. And he says, follow me. So Jesus is asking, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me no matter the cost? Do just be contentedly focused on where I'm driving you. Rest in Christ. rest in his complete and finished work, his life, death, and resurrection, and follow him. Follow him with the joy of the disciples. Now they serve a risen Lord. And just love him. Love him and follow him to the end. To the end. To the end. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we believe. Help our unbelief. Lord, we will fail. But Lord, that work that you've done in us, you will bring it to completion. You will not lose one of your sheep. Forgive us for when we fail to express our love to you by loving others, by loving your people. Forgive us, Lord, when we fail to love you because of fear of some type of persecution. Lord, forgive us when we fail and we grumble and complain because we've compared our situation to somebody else's. Help us to see you as the reigning, ruling Lord, and you just say, follow me. Follow me. Give us the faith to trust. Build your kingdom in our hearts and our minds, and build it in the world. Lord, we do pray for revival in the church. Lord, you would be gracious to save many. We need rescue. We need your mercy. So, Lord, use us in our sphere of influence. Fill us with that spirit, as you did at Pentecost, to empower us to be brave, to be gracious, to be kind, but brave. That we love Jesus. We thank you in his name. Amen.